I wonder if you've noticed recently, around Reading, Tylehurst, or indeed much of the UK, this scene. There's been quite a bit of flag raising going on, hasn't there? Have you noticed this? And it's crept up here as well. It's in Tylehurst, I've noticed, and here and there. It's a bit of a movement that swept the UK this summer, and it's caused quite a bit of debate, hasn't it? People aren't sure about it. There are many reasons, perhaps, why the flags have been put up. Maybe it's just a simple act of patriotism, national pride, an endeavour to unite people, or perhaps it's a form of protest at a time of political and national disillusionment. Maybe some people are feeling like their identity, that their way of life is under threat, and they want to preserve it. This is who we are. Now there have been many revolutions in the world, and many revolutionaries who've sprung up, and they've tried to preserve or protest, to cling on or to change the culture. But they never seem to last, do they? They never seem to be able to bring about the kind of thing we really want them to bring about, the kind of change we're really looking for. And maybe you're a bit fed up of all of this. You're fed up of empty words from politicians or protesters or patriots. You can see the world needs to change. You agree with that. You don't know how, and you can't think of how. And what's more, you see in your own heart there's a mess there too. And in your own life, what are you going to do about that? Who can change that? I wonder, right, here's something again, another 30 seconds perhaps to talk to the person next to you. If you could click your fingers and change one thing about the world right now, what would it be? If you could click your fingers and change one thing about the world right now, what would it be? 30 seconds with the person next to you. Okay. Maybe peace in the world, maybe the end of wars, the end of suffering, maybe some global things you were talking about, maybe much more personal things in our own individual lives. What would you change about the world right now? Well, look, what we've seen today in these baptisms, and even in that reading from Mark chapter 1, is a movement that is far more revolutionary than anything else. There's a historian called Tom Holland, not the Hollywood Spider-Man actor, Tom Holland. He said this, he describes Christianity as the most disruptive, the most influential, the most enduring revolution in history. The Christian Revolution really does, I think, change everything. Not just kind of in politics or even in culture, but at the deepest level of our human hearts. And at its heart is not a flag or a political policy or anything like that. It's a person, Jesus Christ. So for a moment now, let me show you how Jesus is the greatest revolutionary who began the greater revolution that's still growing today. He's the greatest revolutionary. I wonder if you were to answer this question, what is Christianity all about? If you were to ask the man on the street, let's say, what that question might answer might be, you'd get all sorts of answers, I'm sure. Mark opens in verse 1 with a clear thunderbolt message. This is the good news about Jesus, the Son of God. The first thing you need to realize about Christianity is that it's not a set of rules or rituals. It's about a person, a divine person, God himself stepping into our world, no longer hidden from us or far off, but right here in the thick of it with us. But before Jesus, Mark tells us about John the Baptist. Here's a picture of what he might have looked like. Who knows? Wearing camel's hair, eating locusts in a desert. I mean, could you imagine that, eating locusts? Would you ever try locusts? No. What about wearing camel's hair? No, maybe not. Well, that's the kind of guy he was. Very eccentric. You could even say he looks like a revolutionary. Somebody who's a bit different, who's a bit out there, who's a bit eccentric and kind of over the top. He's definitely quite a charismatic figure. He looks like a revolutionary. And indeed, the authorities later on, and we read in our passage, he was put in prison because they saw him as a revolutionary. We've got to squash this guy. Lots of other people thought so too. The whole countryside, Jerusalem, everyone's going to John to be baptized, confessing their sins and repenting. Now, we don't have time today to go into all of the theological symbolic significance of John's baptism. But essentially, it's where people were saying this. When they came to John, they were saying, I want to leave behind my old life and world without God and start afresh with him in his new world. It's that new start. And so, indeed, this looks like revolution. But actually, it's a warm-up. John's message, we saw it, didn't we, was to prepare the way of the Lord. That's verse 2. And then he says, after him will come one more powerful than I. Verse 7. John is not the revolutionary. It would be someone else greater than him. And then, of course, Jesus comes and Jesus gets baptized by John. And notice what happens in verse 10 and 11. The Holy Spirit descends on him, and a voice from heaven says, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus is clearly no ordinary man. We didn't hear a voice like that from the clouds, did we, when we baptized the four chaps today? No, Jesus is extraordinary. This is God's own son, greater than any other person. He's full of the Spirit, which is really meaning he's anointed here as king of the world. And he gets God's own personal endorsement. Folks, this is the person we need to pay attention to. Jesus. Let me show you some more artwork, all right? Hopefully you can see these a little bit. Children, all sorts of people painted these in the styles of their day, I'm sure. But what do they all have in common? What's common in all of these pictures, all right? Can you spot something that's common in all of those pictures? Have you spotted something? What do you think?
Clothes.
Well, yeah, they're all showing John the Baptist with his camel hair. Yeah, what else, Thea? He's always pointing. Yeah, can you see that? If you look really closely, in every one, John the Baptist is often pictured in Christian art as pointing. Now, usually it's rude to point, isn't it? But if you look very closely at these pictures, he's often pointing at something or someone. Well, what's he pointing at here? Can you see? Not all of them have it as clearly as others. Can you see? It's not probably great to see. Reuben, can you see something? Yeah, he's pointing at a sheep. In this one, you can see it. Can you see the sheep, the lamb there? There's one there. There's actually one in this little staff he's got there. He's pointing. This is what John's about. He was there to point, not to himself. The revolution isn't me. It's someone else who's coming after me. It's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John came to point to Jesus. It's about him. He's the real revolutionary, John is saying. When Jesus turned up, John the Baptist, he famously said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Kyle, Samuel, Henry, Zach, you guys have already seen something special, something important, something life-changing in Jesus. Don't
stop looking to him. He's the one John is pointed to, and you'll need to keep your life from now on focused on Jesus. He's the real revolutionary. That's what your baptism is about. It's a pledge of really allegiance to Jesus, and it's a commitment to follow him. And that's true for all of us who've been baptized and are Christians. And maybe for the rest of us, maybe it's time to think, perhaps you need to do what many people are doing right now and take another look at Jesus. Start maybe reading the Bible or coming to church and discover for yourself who this extraordinary, world-changing person is. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is the greatest revolutionary who, secondly, starts the greater revolution. See, what other revolutions in the world have tried to do is change society or change politics or change the culture, even change beliefs. But they cannot change the human heart. We find that human beings are still as sinful or as violent or as greedy or as selfish as ever. And what's more, no other human revolution in the history of the world has an answer to our greatest problem, death. Death. But the Jesus revolution is different because it has an answer for changing us as well as changing the world. Now, notice what happens in Jesus' baptism. Firstly, John's baptism is for sinners. Notice that, verse 4 and 5. But Jesus isn't a sinner. He's the Son of God. Yet, he gets baptized anyway to show us he's one with sinners. He's there, all in with us. That's what God is like. He so loves us. He's like, I'll get in there with you. I'm with you. Even in your mess, even in your sin, I'll come alongside you and I'll love you and I'll do the work to change you. That's what Jesus is like, how loving and gracious and kind he is. But secondly, we realize that just like the water of Noah's flood, do you remember that story in the Bible? The great flood that washed away all the wicked people in the world. The waters of baptism are a picture of that too. They symbolize death. Death for sin. So not only is Jesus saying, I'm with you, but he got in those waters to say, I'm going to die for you. When people got baptized, that's what they're saying. God, I need you to wash away my sin, but let me live. Wash away my sin, but let me survive it. But Jesus says, no, it's going to wash me away. All of your sin will wash onto me and I will take it away. It will wash away with me. And so right at the beginning of Mark's gospel, he's showing us what Jesus came to do. To die for us so that we could be set free. We could be forgiven. We could live. At the very end of Mark's gospel, if you were to go on reading it, what happens? Jesus dies on the cross. He's crucified. He's dying for us. And then he rises to life again after 3 days. In one fell swoop, Jesus deals with sin in our hearts and even death itself. He's defeated death. But then there's a third thing. Jesus, we see here in this passage, Jesus doesn't just defeat sin and death, but defeats evil itself. What does verse 13 say? He was in the wilderness, being tempted by Satan, the devil. We're doing a series in Revelation at the minute, and next week we're going to come back to it, and we're going to look at a dragon. A dragon that is the devil that Jesus can slay. And here he is, slaying the dragon. He's tempted. Satan tries to get the upper hand, but Jesus wins a victory. Jesus defeats him too. And it's after all of that that Jesus then goes on, proclaiming, verse 15, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Can you see what's happening here? This is God's kingdom breaking into the world. A kingdom where people find forgiveness and freedom from their sin and evil and eternal life. A people truly united in love and truth. Think of all the revolutions in history, the promises they can't deliver on, the better life they can never really reach. Why? Because they can never go far enough. Or reach deep enough. But here comes Jesus, the King from God who forgives sin, overcomes evil, slays the dragon, conquers death. His revolution is far deeper. It doesn't just raise a flag, it raises the dead. That's the revolution of Jesus. Isn't that the revolution we need? That you're looking for? Another question for you to think about, I won't, for time's sake, won't get you to talk about it, but if Christchurch is where the revolution, the Jesus revolution is really happening, what should it look like here? What should it look like? I mean, think for us, we've been doing a series this summer on the one another's of the Bible. Love one another, forgive one another, serve one another. What should the revolution look like here at Christchurch? Kyle, Samuel, Zach, Henry, you've joined the real revolution today. You've entered into that deeper cleansing of Jesus, the eternal life he wants to give, this better kingdom and world that Jesus offers. You're in the revolution now. Which brings us to the third and final thing, that this revolution is still growing. See, it didn't end in Galilee all those years ago. It's been growing ever since. And from verse 16, we see Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee, finds Simon and Andrew fishing, and he says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." So, amazingly, they just drop everything and start following Jesus. These are ordinary working men joining an extraordinary movement. And today we see the revolution is still happening. It's ongoing. We saw it today in these baptisms. Declaring allegiance to Jesus' kingdom. Old lives buried in the water. Rising to new life in his spirit. And so there's an invitation open to us all today. Jesus says, firstly, repent, he says here. That means to turn your back on the old life, on sin, on the empty human kingdoms. Then believe the good news. Trust that Jesus is the one who died for our sins and rose again, defeats evil and can give us life. And then follow him. Let this wonderful person, Jesus, teach you how to live a real human life. And then the way we get to show all of this is by being baptized. That's where you get to join this revolution that's been going on for thousands of years. Zach, you had a great way of putting it, Zach, in your story. The ABC. What was that, Zach? Can you remember what it was?
Believe, confess.
Come and tell us. Come up here and tell us. You've got to tell us what to do. I'll put this down again. Tell us what to do. It's the ABC. Right, this is what Jesus is inviting us to do. Tell us A.
Admit
what?
Admit, believe, confess.
Oh, admit, believe, confess. And what are you admitting? We think about sin, aren't we?
Yeah,
that's right. And I want to leave that all behind. We believe in what Jesus has done and then we confess. Is that what it is? Confess?
Yeah.
We're asking him to forgive us. Thanks, Zach. ABC. Zach will tell you more about that. Put this back up. There it is. It's straightforward, it's simple, but in these baptisms, there is an invitation, a bidding to come and join the revolution. If you're weary of these earthly kingdoms, you put a flag up, somebody else is going to take it down. What does it all mean? You're weary of that, of politics and protests that leave you disappointed. Jesus is inviting you today. His kingdom is for you. No qualifications needed. You don't need to kind of be a super special kind of person. Just come as you are. With a heart ready to repent, believe, and follow. Friends, the flags of this world will fade and fall. Human revolutions, I'll put it on here. Human revolutions will come and go. Political solutions will disappoint, but Jesus Christ has started a revolution, a kingdom that will never end. If you're a Christian here today, then let these baptisms remind you that no matter what flags might be flying over us, our allegiance is to Jesus and his eternal kingdom of life. Don't lose sight of the real revolution. And if you've not yet joined the revolution, then feel the pull this morning. Feel it. Hear the call and accept the invitation of Jesus. Come, follow me.